Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. I am your host, Barbara Archer. I come to you from Real Women, Real Talk. Thank you so much for tuning in to another one of our broadcasts this evening. I am very excited to be here, and I have a guest with me this evening that is no stranger at all to the platform. She has graciously extended herself to me on several occasions, and I just want to thank her so much. And tonight, you know, she's been fighting a cold, but God is so good. She is here with us this evening, and I just want to get right into it. But before we even start off with tonight's broadcast, I just want to start off with prayer for all those that are listening. And Father, we just thank you, Lord, for another day. As we are in our seventh day of the new year, we just thank you for getting us to this place right now, because it is all because of you that we're here. None of it that we can count for ourselves, it is all because of you. Thank you. We thank you for every person that is listening, all those that follow us week after week. Thank you, Lord, for the people who you are sending, and Father, all the emails that I get to answer and speak with women on a day-to-day basis. And I just thank you, Lord, and I just pray your blessing and your anointing upon this evening's message, because it is a message, Father, that I know that you want to deliver to your people, that people will be set free, Father. And I just pray, Father, right now that their eyes will be open, that their hearts will be open to receive the best, which you are the best. And, Father, let us just yield ourselves to you, God, and let us just wipe away everything may have happened today, because we can't get a moment of that back. But, Father, we just release everything to you, and we ask all of these blessings in Jesus' name. And, Father, I pray for my dear sister, and I pray you would touch Shamika right now, Father, and continue to heal her and strengthen her body, O Lord. And, Father, I just pray that you keep her, God, in Jesus' name. And this evening's guest is Miss Shamika. How are you doing this evening, Shamika?
I am well, Barbara. Thank you so much for having me again. Thank you, thank you, thank you. How are you?
I'm doing great today. You know, it's been a great day. I can't really say anything. It's been a wonderful day, and I'm very excited about this evening's broadcast with you, because I love having you on the platform, because you bring a level of just, it's just your presence when you are in the studio with me, and I really love that connection that we have, and thank you so much again. And I know you've been battling with this cold, but I'm going to tell you something. Just for you to be here this evening, I'm just so thankful for it, you know, and I just thank God for just touching you and keeping you, Father. And I know that, you know, we're going to have a wonderful time this evening, because tonight's message is going to be a little bit different, and I want to be able to discuss, because so often we get caught up in the tradition. You know, I get emails from women all the time talking about, okay, how do I get this relationship with God? And some women, they believe, okay, well, I go to church, I read my Bible, and, you know, and they think that that is a relationship. But I want to go deeper this evening, and I want you to be able to help us to understand, how do we transition? And I know everything with God is a relationship, you know. Right. And sometimes I think people, different backgrounds and how they've been raised and brought up, you know, has a lot to do with it. But I want to be able to break those barriers, because each and every day, it seems like for the past week, God's been speaking to me about when Jesus went into the land of Samaria. And he could have gone a different route, but he sent his disciples ahead, because a lot of times people can hinder us from what we really want to be able to do. So right. It's like God's been pressing that on me, that tearing down those barriers. So I really want you to go deep with us this evening, Shamika, and help us to understand, how do we get from being into the religious part of religion, okay, to a relationship. And we know that comes right. through Jesus Christ. But help us understand that, will you?
I'll do the absolute best that I can. Well, let's see. I think the most important thing, and you touched on it, is so often we confuse religion with relationship. And listening audience, please excuse my voice. I'm going to try to project as hard as I can or as loud as I can for you. But so often we mix up religion and relationship. And at some point, everybody in their Christian walk had to really wonder, or even in the very beginning. So for some of us, it was in the beginning. For some of us, in the middle. And some of us who have been Christians for 20-plus years who are just now starting to wonder, what is this thing all about? I mean, you said it. You've got people who've been going to church for years. They were brought up in church. They went to church with their grandmothers, right, with their parents. And they've been passed down a form of religion, but they've never really understood relationship behind the religion that they've been passed down. And I think that one of the most important things for us to understand is that it's not about us. It's not about you, what you do, how you do it, where you do it, how long you've been doing it, but it's about knowing who God really, really is. Throughout the New Testament, Jesus really demonstrated with his own life that a relationship with God is not about rituals, it's not about rules, it's not about just basically so much of what we call church, which is really basically, right, you know, a lot of man-made traditions and religions, and it's not about any of those. Those are things that are used to exalt and impress people. And excuse me, and they're really fruitless. It really is when it comes to attaining a real knowledge of who Christ is and who God is. In Luke chapter 11, I believe it is, the disciples were struggling. Even, and these are the disciples, people who walked with Jesus. They were struggling, right, with really knowing God. And one day, you know, they were just overlooking and just observing Jesus while he was in prayer, in deep prayer with the Father. And they noticed the way he spoke to God intimately. And, you know, he wasn't caught up with following certain rules and rituals. It wasn't about him being eloquent in speech, but it was someone talking to their Father, right, and that's one of the basic things that we miss is, how about you just get to know him by talking to him, by actually having a prayer life. I mean, right, you know, not necessarily praying where it's, you know, oh, thou art wonderful, heavenly Father. You know, all of these beautiful words. Yeah, that's pretty and that's cute.
Right.
But, you know, I'm talking about just talking to your daddy the same, right, way you would your natural daddy, the same way you would, you know, your best friend. Having those kind of conversations, and you can really take a very practical approach to it, the same way you would get to know, you know, a man, or the same way you would get to know someone who you see, you like, and you want to be their friend, you want to be in relationship with them, in communion with them. And that's the thing, if you really want it, then what are you going to do? You're going to actually talk to them, you're going to get to know them, you're going to find out as much as you can about them.
Right.
Many women out there can attest to spending hours on the phone talking about nothing with, and, you know, I'm using this example because it's real women, real talk, you know. So,
right, yes, go on.
we can attest to spending hours on the phone talking to a man about nothing, you know, just
right,
to get to know him.
Right,
yeah. I mean, even, and for some of us when we were younger, and some of us who are older too, you'll fall asleep on the phone.
Right, yes, you will.
You know, just holding the phone. And just because you want to be in that person's company, you want to be in their presence. And that's a very practical approach that you can get or that you can take when it comes to getting to know Jesus, moving from relationship or moving from religion to relationship. Take that practical approach and actually starting a relationship. Start by communication, prayer. Mm. That's your basis.
Right.
That's your foundation.
Right. And you know what? That is so true, because I remember, you know, I mean, growing up, you know, I mean, I could sit back on the phone for hours and talk to someone, you know, and it's like, you know, and then, you know, it's like time just stood still, you know. But then it seems like that the things of God, it's like we struggle to actually do those things, you know. And, like,
right,
I remember it was a girlfriend of mine, you know, and she's not going to mind me saying this because I teased her about it for many, many years, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's like she could come to work every day late. No,
right,
no, I get that wrong. Okay. She would come to church every Sunday. Church service started at 10:45. She rolled in 10:50, 10:55, 11 o'clock.
Okay.
But then for work, she was always on time. And she said to me, Barbara, I don't know why that is. I said, because if you showed up on your job late, you wouldn't have a job.
Right.
But, you know, God is not going to kick you out because you 5 or 10 minutes late, you know. So I it's just amazing to me, you know, how that plays a part. You know, it's like things of God that we struggle with, you know, and sometimes, you know, I know where Paul says that it's better to remain single because it's easier to serve God when you're single than it is when you're married, you know? And, you know, I mean, what is your thought on that? Because I know that you are married. I know for me being single, I don't have no other responsibilities other than just taking care of myself. You know, I don't have a husband to take care of. I don't have a husband to take care of anything like that, you know? So I think that a lot of times, though, that we get caught up in what we think that we ought to be able to do, and we feel okay, you know what, God, I know I'm not spending time with you, but if I can just get like one chapter in or maybe a few little scriptures in a day, you know, sometimes we feel we have done our part.
Hmm. Yeah.
You know, and we haven't.
Yeah. That's very true. To answer your question about the single versus the married, it's definitely more difficult when you're married and I have to speak from personal experience. When I was single, I spent lots and lots of time with the Lord. I still spend quality, intimate time with him now, but it's nothing like it was when I was single. When I was single, I would rush home from work just to spend the evening with the Lord, just to spend the evening in worship, just, you know, reading my word, just devouring everything that I could get my hands on concerning him, concerning his will, his purpose for my life, his way. That's my appetite was just huge, and it was insatiable, and I wanted it every single day. And very true. Once you get married, you know, for those of us who have kids or women who have kids, it's very difficult because then the priorities, not that your priority as far as God, because we always look at God as, okay, God is number one. And I'm going to talk about that in a minute. Hold on to that thought. So we look at our priorities, you know, we say, oh, God is number one, and then my family, and then, you know, my job and all of that kind of stuff. But actually, what you devote majority of your time to is what's number one. That's the priority in your life. So it's very difficult for a lot of people inventory of themselves, and they look at the fact that they give the best of their day to their employer. You know, you give the best of your day. You give 8 hours, some of us 10, some people 16 hours a day to your employer, whoever it is you work for. You give them the best of you, and then you come home and you still got to be a mother, you still have to be a wife, and although it's difficult to say, but they are not getting the best of you, they're getting the rest of you. Now, not only are they getting the rest of you, but now you're going to say, okay, I've got a little bit of time left over. Let me try and pray. Let me try and read some scriptures. And you end up falling asleep 2 minutes in. And that's just not the way it should be. That's what happens when you put everything in a ranking order of first, second, third. But if you put it in the perspective of Jesus is at the center, my relationship with Christ is at the center of my life, and everything else flows from that center. My relationship with my husband, what I do for my work, my purpose in work, my relationship with friends, my children, everything else flows from that center, then it's a lot easier to maintain balance in your life. Maintain some balance in your life. And a lot of people don't necessarily they don't see it that way. And it's hard to hear someone else say, okay, well, you're giving the best of yourself to somebody else, you know, other than God and other than your family, which is absolutely true. We give them the rest of us. And, whatever we spend our time doing, that's what gets the best of us. Now, if you spend your time just really, really, really cultivating your relationship with the Lord, then that's, I mean, he gets the best of you, and that's the way it should be, and everything else should flow from out of that relationship in that manner.
Right, yes, you know, and that is so true, you know, because, you know, there's always, there has to be a balance in life, you know? And a lot of times, you know, it's like myself, you know, I like to get up early in the morning, you know, and get that time alone with God before everyone else gets up, because then I know everything may go crazy. You know, so I have to have that first time in the morning. And I know that there was a long time. I mean, there was a while in my life, you know, and I'm just going to ask this because I know other women that they have struggled, or they may be struggling in the same area. And I want you to really clarify some things for us today. But I know myself, you know, it's like, I'm used to getting up at a certain time with God every morning. And then there were times that maybe there was something that came out of the ordinary. I wasn't expecting it, you know, and I wasn't able to spend that time. I would feel guilty because I did not, you know, because I'd be thinking, okay, Barbara, maybe you should have gotten up a little bit earlier, you know what I'm saying, than what you normally do, you know. And I would feel guilty. And then after a while, it just hit me. I was like, wait a minute, where is this guilt coming from? This guilt is not coming from God. Where is this guilt coming from? And I had to recognize who was bringing that guilt to me, you know, and it was Satan. He wanted me to feel guilty, you know. And I get emails from women, and they say the same thing, that they feel guilty that if they don't spend this time, you know, or if, you know, that they feel bad that if they can't give God everything what they want to give, you know, because they have other responsibilities, you know. So how would you address those women tonight, you know, that are struggling in that exact same area?
I think one of the most important things to ask yourself is, is it guilt or is it conviction? Because those are two totally different things. Now, if you are feeling, you know, guilty or condemned for not spending the type of time that, you know you should spend, then or that's something different from feeling it's totally different from you being convicted. Do you understand what I'm saying? Like, conviction comes from the Holy Spirit. Conviction is a check from the Holy Ghost, which says, okay, listen, you've got some time here that you could be spending with me. And a lot of the times people don't want it. We don't want to get up the extra time in the morning. That was something I had to check myself on, because I used to always say, God, I just don't have the time like I used to. And he pointed out that I slept for 9 hours. You know what I mean? Like, you sleep for eight hours at night. So what do you mean you don't have the time? You've got the time. You just don't want to allocate it. So that's the thing. There's 24 hours in a day, and I don't want to. I'm not saying that, you know, we don't get tired, and, you know, there are not evenings where we're like, okay, I just can't do it. And God's grace is sufficient for those times. But we got to understand that he is still worthy of that time, that extra that extra 30 minutes, that extra hour. And here's the thing. Don't get caught up in the ritualistic side of it that says that you've got to, you know, you've got to you've got to spend, let's say, 3 hours each day. That may not be what God has ordained for you to do. Do you understand what I'm saying? You need to be able to get everything you need to get in 30 to 45 minutes. I'm not saying that that's an optimal time, but I'm saying, but that may be, he may be able to get everything he needs to get to you in that time. So you can't allow yourself to feel condemned for not spending 3 or 4 hours in his presence if that's not just not time that you have. But you have to be able to make the best of the time that you do have. I read something. For me, prayer is extremely, extremely, extremely important for me. And I get up every morning, and I just don't feel right if I don't start my day off with a good amount of prayer. Meaning, you know, not only do I pray, but I have to spend time just listening for what he has to say. You know, I can't just spout off a list of what I need for 30 minutes and then don't listen for answers. But that's very important for me. So I read something one day in one of Cindy Tram's books. It's called The Heaven Invades Earth. And she was talking about a gentleman. His name was Father Nash, I believe, who, and I'm paraphrasing this because I don't remember everything. It's been a while since I read it. But he talked about how he would spend 2 hours every morning with God unless it was a day where he knew he had a lot to do. On days where he knew he had a lot to do, he would spend three hours
right.
with him. And that's wonderful for Father Next. Do
right.
I advocate spending that kind of time with God? I absolutely do. If you can do that, then do it. If you can't do it, then do what you can do. But just
right,
make
right.
sure that
Amen.
It is what you can do and that you're not making excuses with it. It has to be what you can
right.
do because there are 24 hours
Amen.
In a day. So we just got to know where to allocate our time.
Amen, amen. And that is so true because I know myself, you know, I like to get up early morning, and I've been doing this for years now. I just get up early in the morning, you know. Now, every now and then, you know, it would be something that may come out of nowhere, and it would throw me off. And I would be like, I used to get upset about it because I'm like, oh, my gosh, you know, especially if it was something wrong with the kids or something like this, and, you know, or I'd be in my prayer closet praying, and the kids, they come knock at the door because they need something, and I'm like, okay, you know what? Normally that you are still asleep at this time of the morning, but now you're up, you know. And,
yeah.
you know, so what I used to always do, I used to tell my children, you know, that if it is not a fire, do not disturb me. Because that is my time that I have with God. And I don't want no one to mess with that time. I don't care if you're not dying or you're not bleeding mm-hmm. to death. You know, and I don't think
right.
that I was being a mean mom when I would say this
right.
to my children, but I wanted to demonstrate to my children as well that this is my time of worship. This is the only time I'm going to have with God throughout this day, you know, because I have to go to work. I have
right.
this to do and that to do. So this is my time, and this is precious to me, you know. So don't interrupt my time with God, you know. So I think what it is that so often, you know, we get so busy, you know, but you have to find that time. Some people it's early in the morning. Sometimes it's late at night. But you have to figure
right.
out your day and see how your day is going to go. And then try to, you know, and then try your best, you know. And this is what I tell women, you know. I'm like, you know what, don't try to sit down and read 3 and 4 chapters of the Bible all at once. Because
yeah.
you're not going to be able to retain only
it.
A small portion of that. You know,
mm-hmm.
I would rather you sit down, you know, and start off, you know, with maybe a couple chapters, you know, maybe, you
yeah.
know, maybe 1 or 2 a day, you know, and really get those 1 or 2 chapters under your belt and really understand it, because you can easily read and continue to flip the page after page, you know, but
mm-hmm.
then if someone were to ask you, okay, what did you gain from it? You know, chances are you're not going to be able to tell, you may be able to remember 1 or 2 things.
Right.
But what I do is that I started off, you know, I mean, I go through reading the Bible every single year. You know, I'm going through it again through Bible Gateway, and I enjoy it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I do believe that people have to find out what works for them, if it's in the morning prayer time or maybe it's at night after the kids have gone to sleep. And then you can spend that time with God, you know,
right.
because you need that time with him. You know, I can't imagine
right.
going throughout my day and not having that time with him.
Right, and to be honest, it's all about glorifying God in your heart. I think one of the most important things is to examine your motivation for doing
right.
what it is you're doing. Even when it comes to spending time with God, there is still a motive behind it. And if your motive is anything other than to know him, if your motive is to satisfy some religious obligation, some, you know, ritualistic obligation, it's because it's what you heard was right to do, then
right.
you're never going to be satisfied with that because, number one, he's not getting any glory out of that. So your motive has to be to glorify him in your heart, and also just to get to know him during that time, to get to know him, to you know, get to know his purpose and his plan and his will for your life, his will that's found in his word. And so that should be our motivation for our intimate time, just whatever we can do to cultivate that relationship. As long as it's not being done, again, out of a religious obligation, then
right.
go for it. You know, whether it's 30 minutes, whether it's 3 hours, go for it.
Right.
But I don't care if you spend 6 hours a day and you're doing it out of an obligation, you know, because it's the religious thing to do, it's the churchy thing to do, then I mean, that's just 6 hours that you could have gone to. You could have gone to Disney World or something. You know, you could have been
right.
on a shopping spree during those 6 hours. I'm serious. Go pamper yourself. Get your nails done. Get your hair done. Go do something during those 6 hours. But you know, don't spend those 6 hours because you deem it your religious. You know, it's a religious necessity for you, and there's nothing fruitful that's coming as a result of that. There is no fruit in your life as a result of that. We don't see any change happening in the earth as a result of the change that's happening in you during that time. So that's another thing we need to look at. What's happening to us during that time that we spent with him? So if I'm spending 45 minutes a day in his presence and there's no real change happening in me,
right.
then
right.
I need to figure out what's going on during that time and why it's not
right.
happening. Yeah.
Right. Right. Amen. That is so, so important, you know, because, you know, when we come into his presence, there should be a change in us. You know, I mean, each day we should be growing, and we should be growing more like Christ each and every day of our lives, you
yeah.
know. And if we're not growing, you know what I'm saying, you know, it's like, okay, then we have to go back and figure it out and be like, okay, what is happening? Why I'm at the same place that I was when I first received him? You know, I know myself, it'd be going on 18 years that I have been saved and walking with God. Now, if I'm still at the same place 18 years later that I was when I first started with him, then there's something wrong, because I should be growing, you know. It should be less of Barbara and more of him in my life, you know.
Yeah,
but if it's the other way around, then there's a problem in my walk, you know.
Yeah.
There's something, you know. It's like when I go to God, you know, I just want to be in his presence, you know. I just want him to completely change me. And I even pray it, and I says, God, and I know that as I grow, you're going to continue to change me. And there are going to come times that I'm not going to like that change, because I'm not going to like what it feels like or how you're going to stretch me. And the stretching may even bother me, and I may not
yeah.
like it. But just give me the grace to be able to withstand the change that what you're about to bring into my life. Because at the end of the day, I just wanted more of God and less of Barbara, you know. But sometimes we get caught up in this religious, like some people, you know, they're afraid to pray. You know, I got this one email from this young lady, and she was afraid to pray out loud because she felt, well, I don't pray like a Joyce Myers, or I don't pray like a Paula White. And it's like, you be you. Don't try to be someone else, you know, and it's so much of that going around, you know. I mean, why do you think it's like that way
yeah.
that, you know, I mean, I know there's a deeper issue, but it's like, just be you, because that's who God made you. God didn't make you to pray like the next person. He didn't pray. He
right.
didn't make you to preach like a T.D. Jakes. You
yeah.
know, you have to operate in your own anointing.
Yeah. Yeah, I think also what people need to know is, especially when it comes to, because we're talking about spending time with God, is that
right.
he desires to have that time with you more than you could ever. You know, even if you think that you want to be with him more than he wants to be with you, you're sadly mistaken. I mean,
right.
he desires to spend that time with you. That's why... In his word, he tells us, you know, ask and it'll be given to you. Seek and you'll find. You know, knock and the door will be open, because everybody who asks receives. If you seek, you'll find. And if you knock, the door will be open. And of course, that's me paraphrasing the scripture. But he wouldn't tell us that he
right.
is available. And he wasn't talking about things behind the door or things that
right.
you would seek and find. He was talking about himself. So he wouldn't tell us that he would be available to us if he had no intention of being available to us from the beginning
right.
from the beginning of time. That always been his desire, to be able to commune uninterruptedly with us, with his creation. And, you know, so anytime you have an opportunity to actually spend time with God, to encounter a real living God, we should take advantage of it. And it doesn't have
right.
to be, you know, on your knees. It doesn't have to be on your knees in your bedroom before the day starts. I spend time with God when I'm in my car, you know, even while
right.
I'm working throughout the day. And it doesn't have to be some super spiritual thing where, you know, you're in your cubicle
right.
and, you know, you ashata, you know, in your cubicle, and then you're getting fired from your job. I mean, come on. let's be serious about it. It doesn't have to be that, but you can spend time right. with him wherever you are. And that's his desire. He just wants you. Just keep that in mind. He wants you.
Yes, yes. And that is, you know, that is a perfect note to end this broadcast on, because that is so, so true on so many levels. You know, I mean, you could be anywhere and you can just be praising him. You know, you don't have to, you know, be on your knees, but I think that sometimes we get caught up in the, you know, in the religious aspect of it, and that's where we lose it at, you know. But that comes from just knowing God and having that relationship with him, that you know exactly from God, you know, what you, what he really requires of you. All he wants is for us to be in fellowship with him. He just wants to commune with us each and every day, you know. You know, it could be 5 words, it could be 50 words. But I believe if you give God what you have from your heart, God honors that, you know.
Right.
You know, and that's just my take on it. So, you know, in this last minute, what is your final thought for us, Shamika?
My final thought for you in this last moment is that you would remove any barrier to intimacy with our Father that's there, whether that barrier is busyness, whether, you know, that barrier is just a lack of prioritizing, whatever the barrier is, I pray that it be removed in your life, and that those who are spiritually dry or disconnected from God will begin to see him with fresh new eyes and experience his love in a deeper way than ever before.
Amen. 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 Well, you heard it here, Real Woman, Real Talk. We will be back next Wednesday evening at 6:30 Eastern Standard Time. Shamika, thank you very much for joining me evening, and continue to just rest your throat, because I do appreciate all of the talking that you've done. And I'm like, and I'm sitting on the phone and I'm like, oh my gosh, you know, and I feel kind of bad, because I'm like, you know, I'm like, although, because I know how it is, you know, because I've been there before myself and I had to push my way through it, and it was the hardest thing I ever had to do, you know.
Yeah.
So I just want to thank you so much for just joining me this evening. But you get some rest. God bless each and every last one of you, and we'll be back here next Wednesday, same time. We love you, and take care.